Welcome to Northwest Health Matters, where we talk about healthcare topics that matter to you and your pocketbook. I'm your host, Mary Sawyers, and today we're talking about colon cancer screening. Now, that used to be a topic for people over 50, but not anymore. If you were born in 1990, you have double the risk of being diagnosed with colon cancer and quadruple the risk of being diagnosed with rectal cancer compared to someone born in 1950. Something else you might not know about colon cancer, there are several ways to be screened that don't involve having a colonoscopy. As these two very young girls found out, you can be screened with a very simple test by sending your poop through the mail.
Fascinating.
What is?
If it's true that all living things eat and all living things poop, then how come no one wants to talk about it?
Probably the same reason no one wants to talk about colon cancer screening either, even though it saves lives.
Well, I guess I can understand that. I am not looking forward to my first colonoscopy.
Me either. It's really invasive. You have to drink a gallon of laxative, take time off work, and find someone to drive you to the clinic. But did you know there's an alternative? It's called the FIT test.
Ugh, I hate tests.
This one's easy. It's a simple test you do at home. You lay down a piece of paper on the toilet, poop on it.
Ew!
Collect just a little bit of the poop with a special stick, put it in a little container, and mail the whole thing to a lab. There, they'll look for tiny amounts of blood in the soil that would indicate a problem.
You can send poop in the mail?
Yep. And here's the thing. If people understand they can do a FIT test instead of colonoscopy, more people will get screened.
How do you know?
Well, this lady did a study about it. She mailed FIT tests to hundreds of people in Portland, Oregon, who haven't been screened for colon cancer, and 40% mailed them back.
That's an impressive response rate.
It sure is. And these are people who get their care from community clinics. Many of them are minorities or uninsured. Their rates are typically pretty low.
Well, I'm definitely going to take the FIT test in, 43 years.
Me too.
Did you know snakes poop?
Now that you've listened to that video soundtrack, you may think there's nothing else to learn about sending your poop through the mail. Actually, there's a lot more to learn about this topic. Here to discuss it are my guests this week on Northwest Health Matters. Dr. Gloria Coronado is the researcher you just heard those two girls talking about. She works at the Kaiser Permanente Center for Health Research here in Portland. Also joining us is Christopher Springman, a colon cancer patient who first learned that he might have cancer by completing the FIT test. Welcome to both of you. Thanks for joining us on Northwest Health Matters.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So I'm going to start with you, Dr. Coronado. Are people willing to use the Postal Service to send their poop through the mail?
Absolutely. What the research shows is that patients prefer doing the FIT test over a colonoscopy because they can do it at home. And as was mentioned in the video, the colonoscopy requires taking time off work, you know, drinking a laxative, and finding somebody to take you to the clinic to have the procedure done. And so patients really prefer FIT test over colonoscopy.
So tell me more about this research that you do with the FIT test.
Yeah, I'm involved in a variety of studies taking place out of Kaiser Permanente Center for Health Research, where we partner with community clinics and Medicaid health plans to test ways to increase rates of colorectal cancer screening and follow-up colonoscopy.
And now we're joined by Christopher Springman, who was diagnosed this way with colon cancer through a FIT test. Did you get a FIT test in the mail?
Yes, I did. I had moved to Portland about 4 years ago from San Francisco, where I was a member of Kaiser and had been for years. And soon after I arrived in Portland, Kaiser Northwest contacted me and asked me to participate in a FIT test. I was in between colonoscopies 2 and 3, and I think the timeline is really important. I was 2 years into the 5-year window between colonoscopies when the FIT test arrived, which was very simple to take. I produced a sample of feces or poop and coated a little stick, put it into a container, which is about the size of a lipstick, essentially.
Small, yes.
And put it in a bag and mailed it off. And it was very painless. At this point, I consider the FIT test to be an early warning device. And it is no substitute for a colonoscopy, but the goal is to determine if there are any microscopic traces of blood in the feces, which could indicate either a cancerous or a precancerous polyp. And in my case, they found a polyp, and they discovered that the polyp was cancerous. I later asked my gastroenterologist, who did the procedure, what would have happened if I'd waited another 1,000 days to have my regularly scheduled colonoscopy? What would things have looked like? And he said, it's probably the understatement of all time, well, the diagnosis probably would have been different. 3 years, growing 24 hours a day, yes, I think things would have been different. I was very fortunate. I was staged at 1. The cancer had not gone through the wall of the colon and metastasized or spread throughout the body. I did not have radiation or chemotherapy. I didn't experience incontinence or impotence. And the 5-year survival rate for an individual with stage 1 is in the high 90s, I believe.
So, Dr. Coronado, this is Christopher's experience was a little different than a lot of the patients where you use this. Some of them, or many of them, this is the first time they've ever been screened for colon cancer. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
How do they identify that these are the people who need to be screened?
Yeah. So the clinics or Medicaid health plans that we partner with look in their records to identify patients who are overdue. And like you mentioned, many of these patients have never, ever been screened. And so they're mailed a FIT test. And once they complete that test, if the result is positive, then they're referred to a colonoscopy. And so, like our guest said, you know, the FIT test will look for trace amounts of blood in the stool, and that can be an indication that the patient has polyps.
And if this test is just looking for blood in the stool, how diagnostic is it in accuracy compared with the colonoscopy?
Really good question. Researchers have done modeling studies to suggest that FIT testing and colonoscopy result in very similar reductions in colorectal cancer mortality. And so the two tests are considered to be pretty similar in terms of their ability to prevent or to detect colon cancer.
Now, is that because you take the FIT test every year rather than every 10 years? Because I would think that there are some polyps that aren't actually bleeding.
Absolutely. So their studies are based on 100% adherence. So they design their models around the fact that the patient will get 10 stool tests over the course of 10 years or one colonoscopy over the course of the 10 years if they're average risk.
So what are the ways to be screened for colon cancer? In addition, there's a colonoscopy every 10 years, there's a FIT test every year, and then what are there other ways as well?
You know, there are a few other ways that are recommended. So, you know, there's FOBT, high sensitivity FOBT, which is very similar to the FIT test. Is still
that's
recommended.
That's a poop test, too.
It's also a poop test.
A poop test, yes.
And then in the category of endoscopy, which are tests where the provider inserts a tube in the rectum to visually inspect the colon, there is colonoscopy, which is considered the gold standard in that category. There's also sigmoidoscopy, which is a test that's not very commonly used. And the advantage is it doesn't require the same anesthesia that is required for a colonoscopy. But the disadvantage is that the doctor only...
You only see half a colon,
you only
right?
see a portion of the colon. Yeah. I don't even think it's half. And so you're not viewing the entire colon, meaning that you're not taking out the polyps in the entire colon. Mm-hmm. And so a patient could still get colon cancer from polyps that are in the upper part of the colon.
So most people now are either screened by FIT or colonoscopy, or there's also what I think a lot of people who may be listening to this have heard of the DNA test or a Cologuard. Is that the same as the FIT test?
It's different than the FIT test. So FIT test looks for human blood in the stool, and the FIT DNA test also looks for human blood, but they also look for biomarkers of genes that are associated with colorectal cancer or large polyps.
But it's still still a poop test. All right, so I want to talk about the differences. And Christopher, you've had both the FIT test and the colonoscopy. It sounds like the FIT's a lot easier.
The FIT is a lot easier. It's convenient and accurate. And I must say, receiving the results back of my last FIT test where the results were benign, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's very reassuring.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to sleep well in the evening knowing that you're doing the very best you can to enhance your not only quality of life, but longevity.
And so let's talk a little bit about cost of these different tests. I think if your insurance pays for all of these different methods, then it's basically just a question of convenience for you or preference for you. But how much is that? I'm assuming the FIT test is quite a bit cheaper and the DNA FIT is a lot cheaper than a colonoscopy. Is that right?
Absolutely. The FIT test generally ranges from about $3 to $40. The FIT DNA test ranges from about $400 to $800.
Oh, wow. That's quite a bit more expensive.
Quite a bit more expensive
okay.
than the FIT test. And the cost of colonoscopy ranges from about $2,000 to $3,700.
So why wouldn't everybody just start out with a FIT, then go right straight to the colonoscopy?
Well, some people prefer a colonoscopy over FIT for whatever reason. Other patients, like our guest today, may only have heard of colonoscopy, may not have ever heard of FIT testing. And so I think there are a variety of reasons. And it's important to understand as well that if the patient has a positive FIT test result, they're going to need that colonoscopy.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are some patients that might think, well, you know, there's a chance I may need a colonoscopy anyway, so I might as well just get that as my screening test.
And let's talk a little bit about who should be tested. I said in the introduction that this used to be something that people over 50 had to worry about because that used to be the screening recommendation. I understand that the American Cancer Society has lowered that recommendation to 45.
Mm-hmm.
And there are also people younger than that that have risk factors who should be tested even earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, still 90% of colon cancers occur in patients who are over age 50. So it's important to recognize that even though the rates are increasing in the younger age group, still the vast majority of colon cancer cases are occurring in those adults that are over age 50. But it's important to recognize that there are some high-risk groups, and those are groups that either have colon diseases like ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease, individuals who have a strong family history of either colorectal cancer or large polyps. So those groups of patients should get screened earlier. And then obviously any patient that is found to have some of the prominent symptoms of colon cancer, like rectal bleeding, should also talk to their doctor about getting screened earlier because, as you know, there are some patients who are being found to have cancer at ages when doctors wouldn't think about doing screenings.
Right. I read a New York Times article recently about people in their 20s and 30s who have colon cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And we should also let people know what a problem this is, how many people still need to be screened. And I think colon cancer is still the second leading cause of cancer death. Is that right?
It's the second leading cause of cancer death in the United States. There's still about 25 million adults who are overdue in the United States.
And that's a lot.
Been
25 million, yes.
25 million. That's about a third of age-eligible adults have not been screened or are not up to date, I guess, for colorectal cancer screening, according to guidelines set by the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force.
So how many people in Oregon and the Northwest in Washington, are we up to date on screening? And are there certain populations that aren't up to date?
Really good question. We track pretty consistent with national rates. So nationally, about 67% of adults who are age eligible are up to date. In Oregon, I think we're about 70%. But there definitely are certain population subgroups that have lower rates. Hispanics in Oregon have rates that are about 52%.
Much lower.
Much lower. And
that's what you're targeting with your studies?
Many of our studies do target Latino population, but they also kind of just generally target underserved populations. Those are patients who receive care in community clinics or who are enrolled in Medicaid. And what we see from data from Oregon on community health centers is that their rates are about 42%.
So I imagine those low rates have to do with them either not having insurance or access to the screening tests. Do insurance companies pay for these tests?
Yes, all of those tests are paid for by insurance. So the FIT as well as a colonoscopy will be paid for with no out-of-pocket costs for patients.
Does that mean no copay? Like I don't even have to pay my $5 or $10 copay?
That means no copay.
But let's say you have a positive FIT and then you have to go on to have a colonoscopy. Are there instances where people will have to pay for part of that colonoscopy?
So we consider that follow-up colonoscopy part of the screening process. So we actually think of it as a two-step screening process where patients can start with FIT and then get the colonoscopy as a second step. Unfortunately, based on, you know, our insurance companies think of it as a diagnostic procedure. And so for patients who opt to get a FIT for first-line screening and their FIT test is positive and they need the follow-up colonoscopy, in many states, they'll be faced with copays. Here in Oregon, we changed legislation that prevents that from happening. And so in Oregon, insurance providers are required to cover all of those costs, including the copay, for the follow-up colonoscopy that results or that's needed as a result of a positive FIT.
But that might not be true in other states.
It's not true in other states, and it's also not true for Medicare, which is a federal program, and changing rules for Medicare require an act of Congress.
So important to ask your insurer if you're going to have it. I mean, you don't have to worry about cost for the FIT, but for a follow-up colonoscopy, you should ask your insurance company about that.
Absolutely.
One more thing I wanted to cover. Could you reiterate, is there a best test for colon cancer screening?
A lot of people I know say that the best test is the test that gets done. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not going to do a colonoscopy, then a FIT test can be a nice option. And for some patients, knowing that there's trace amounts of blood in their stool can help motivate them to get that colonoscopy procedure done.
Christopher, you're 4 years out now, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And you're doing well and no recurrence of cancer. So I would assume then you're an advocate of the FIT test.
I am a true believer. I have that 1,000-mile stare of a cancer survivor who is not only grateful, but astonished.
That's great. All right. Well, thanks to both of you for joining us on Northwest Health Matters. Christopher Springman, thanks for sharing your story about your colon cancer diagnosis.
Absolutely.
And Gloria Coronado, thank you for sharing your research with people in hopes that more of us will be screened.
Oh, yeah.
To all our listeners, thanks for joining us on Northwest Health Matters, where we talk about health topics that matter to you and your pocketbook. Next week, we're going to be talking about vaccinations. Oregon's exemption law is still in effect. And what does that mean to you if you send your kids to school with other kids who are unvaccinated? You can find our podcast on iTunes or SoundCloud or anywhere else you get your podcasts. Until next time, remember, Northwest Health matters.